picture is going to have two pictures. All right. Abigail's got you live.
Hi, welcome to Soldiers for Christ.
You can talk now.
I can?
Yes, sir.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol
Hazma.
Elohim Tov.
Wow. I guess you haven't learned it yet, huh?
God is good.
God is good. That's my favorite. I can see a lot of things in Hebrew, but that's my favorite. God is good all the time. So,
thank you.
All right. Here we go. And we have Brent coming in. Come on in here, young man. Elohim Tov, Brent. Kol Hazman, see, he's learned it. That's good. Let's have, give that man a Bible study. Give him a copy of the Bible studies, and I'm hoping that everybody received the Bible study. Welcome to our family, our Soldiers for Christ family all the way around the world. Wherever you're at, welcome. Some of you guys will be watching this in the morning, but I'm thanking God that you're all with us. I want to explain some things before I go over here and then we can talk. But let me explain what we're talking about tonight. Huh?
Do you want to pray in first? Or do you want to wait till you come back over here?
Yeah, let's wait till I come back over here, and then we'll have one of the guys come pray me in. All right? Okay. Way to go there, man. Okay. Someone called me, Pastor Ben, and they said, I really appreciate the guy who called me. Edward, he said, Pastor Sandy, don't feel bad. I know June 20th passed and we didn't have a rapture. I hope you're not feeling bad. I hope you're okay. And I'm like, but in my mind, I wasn't expecting a rapture on 20th or 21st. I was letting you know that that's when the true Pentecost is. The harvest season lasts, quite a while, almost a month and a half. It's a harvest season, and I always know that Ruth, who is the typology of the church, didn't get married to the end of the wheat harvest. So I was just excited that we were understanding that when the Pentecost would land, you know. So it's impossible to say when the rapture is for the church, because it happens during the wheat harvest. Okay, and so we don't know. The first day of the wheat harvest is usually the first fruit offering, which Jesus Christ is already our first fruit offering, so we don't really have to worry about that. But the church is a wheat harvest, and it's a wheat harvest, and it's in 2021. And that's why I don't understand why the whole world's not going crazy, because in 2021, in the summertime, at the wheat harvest, 7 years before 2028 is like scary, okay? But let's look at a couple of things on the board. I wasn't expecting the rapture on June 2021. There's some guy that's doing a video now say he's expecting it to actually happen on the 25th or the 26th. And, you know, God bless him. I hope he's right. Barry. Yeah. And he's a good guy. I love about Dr. Barry, but but I'm going to teach the Bible, okay? And so I know that the wheat harvest is Pentecost is a date, but the wheat harvest lasts longer, and Ruth did not get married until the end of the wheat harvest. So the wheat harvest can happen anytime between a certain time. Now, I had a friend of mine from Israel send me a copy of the harvest seasons and how they go, when they end, when they begin, when the wheat harvest ends, when it ends, like that, so that you can know exactly what's going on in Israel, so you can understand. And I'm going with Israel's agricultural calendar because, yeah, I mean, some people might say, well, it's spring here on the other side of the world. I'm going to stick with Israel's calendar. Okay, so this is what is this. The scariest thing is this. Wheat harvest is the wheat harvest. in the summertime, and it's 2021, which is exactly 7 years away from Yom Kippur 2028, which is the return of Jesus Christ back to the earth. If you didn't do the Yom Kippur study, you're not going to understand that because you don't know what Yom Kippur is. But Yom Kippur is the planned date for Jesus to return. It is documented in the story of Moses, and it's documented in the book of Revelation that Yom Kippur is the day that Christ will return. A matter of fact, in heaven, Jesus, they're having a Yom Kippur service right before Jesus returns. When they're making the cloud and everything, they're having a Yom Kippur service in heaven right before Jesus returns. And you don't have to study that hard to even see that. Okay, so Yom Kippur 2021 of this year to Yom Kippur 2020 of 2028 is 2,541 days. And there's only 2,520 years in the tribulation altogether, okay? And the church leaves before the signing of the peace agreement. I expect the peace agreement to be signed this year around Yom Kippur, okay? Because as they count those days to Yom Kippur 2028, our days are running out. See, this is what I'm saying. It's like I tell you, hey, my dad's coming to see me. He said he's going to see me on the weekend, right? And I say, well, I think my dad's going to come today, right? And they say, no, well, it's only Monday. Yeah, but I saw his red car, right? And then he doesn't show up, and then they go, oh, see, he didn't show up. Well, I think he's going to come today. Well, it's only Wednesday, but it's my birthday, and he never misses a birthday. There's good things to say he should come, but he said, I'm going to come on the weekend, right? So we look for the date that he said. Now he did come, Saturday comes and he doesn't show up. Then he says, well, there's only Sunday left. That means you're running out of days, right? So he shows up on Sunday and then you go, okay, he did exactly what he said. So the date for his return is planned. And so this is why the wheat harvest during the 2021 is very important, because we're running out of days for the last generation 2028. I wanted to look at this right here before we get in our Bible study. This Passover happens and Jesus Christ dies on the cross. He resurrects out of the ground. And then the next thing after Passover is they celebrate unleavened bread for how many days? 7 days. There was a resurrection during unleavened bread. All the Old Testament saints came out of the ground and went into heaven during the week of unleavened bread. Now, I already knew that in the week of unleavened bread that there was going to be a resurrection. How do I know that? Because of Deuteronomy 16:16. It says they harvest in the unleavened bread, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? So we know when the harvests are going to be. One's going to be in the spring, one's going to be in the summer, and the other one's going to be in the fall, okay? So the scriptures has already told us when the harvest seasons are. There is a barley harvest here, there's a wheat harvest here, and there is a fruit harvest here, okay? So the way God is harvesting the world has been already planned out. And we know it's planned because one of them has already happened, and one of them is well documented in the book of Revelation. And saying, no, and now we're supposed to be part of this one, and it's be aware because summer is near. So understand where we are in the harvest seasons, and understand that we are in the wheat harvest season in the summer of 2021. Time's running out. Let's get over here. Come on up, Brent, and pray me in, please. Man, you're still getting bigger.
No, I'm small, bro.
All right.
Come on, I'm fasting.
So. All right.
Lord, we just come to you this evening, and we just thank you for everything that you have done so far in this church. And we ask that you continue to bless us and continue to look after us.
Thank you.
And your watchmen especially. we're all kind of weary, Lord, and especially myself, and we just pray for your strength. And we know that you're coming soon, and so we just pray that your spirit would just be upon us. And we pray tonight that you would show us your power and strength, and that we learn as much as you desire of us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. All right, I'm going to put the fan on me, and I am going to just look at a couple things, because, are you guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. Tracy, Mickey, I want to thank you for the card and the letter. I can't wait to give the card that you sent for my wife to her. I read it. It said to Sandy and Andrea, so I read it, and she's going to be very excited to get it. And then we have this letter that he wrote. See, you say your name is Tracy. Tracy Mickey. Tracy Mickey can be a guy or a girl, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you got a flowers from Sandy. It's like a guy or a girl. Okay, so at the age of 52, he said he finally found a good pastor, or she said she finally found a good pastor. And if you're out there, let me know. I haven't read the whole letter. I just read the card that you sent to Drea. Oh, here it is. It says, that will be helpful for my husband. So it's a lady, right? Yeah. Son and daughter, right? So praise God. Thank you, Tracy, so much. I'll read the letter later because it's long, but I read the card already, and I'm going to give that to my wife when I get home because she can't make it tonight. And then Colette, my married in Israel in the 60s or so, also sent me the beautiful thing that I posed with and these books. She always sends me stuff from Israel. This I love. Look, see that? That is beautiful. So I got to do something with that. All right. Abigail got the hiccups. She out there like, here we go. All right. And thank you for the books. And then that's Colette. That's Tracy. Oh, and Deborah Otterburn sent me this beautiful card too. See this, Pastor Dan? I'm putting it on camera so you can see it. Created Just for You by Deborah Otterburn. She made this by herself. Did she make her own cards? Wow. I just want you all to know that I have grown in the Lord and the Word more in such a short time over the last 20 years in other churches. Thank you so much for your steadfastness, faithfulness to your calling. You have truly changed my way of thinking about God's word and how to apply it to my life. I will forever be grateful. God called you, even though I'm sure it was really tough. The tough man saw it through. Thank you. And just as you give, what was it, generous heart. And that's Deborah Otterburn. Thank you so much. And then let's see. This last card is from Colette. So she's down there in Sarasota. You ask great questions, Colette. I appreciate the questions that you ask, because there are questions that people should know the answer to. And I love to explain things in the Bible so that they're clear, so people understand the Bible much better. Okay, are you guys have your notes? Greg, you have any notes back there? If you don't have any notes, you can't follow us. Okay, let's get into the Word of God, because this is a great Bible study, and I'm thinking that Pastor Ben is gonna last till tomorrow. I'm glad we didn't call off tomorrow.
Amen.
Although,
they meant well.
You know, they meant well. God bless them. Okay. Here we go. First of all, we need to read the top line up here. The fulfillment of Pentecost is here. Now, someone would say, Pastor Sandy, Pentecost has already been fulfilled. And I would say to them, how is that possible that Pentecost has been fulfilled? We've only fulfilled half of what Pentecost is meant to show you, okay? Because Pentecost was not just an engagement, Pentecost was also a marriage, okay?
Right.
And so you have to see both of them fulfilled for Pentecost to be fulfilled. And in Acts chapter 2, only half of what of Pentecost was fulfilled, okay? The other half has been given to us in the Bible, how it will be fulfilled, and we're going to read that later. Now, let's read this. In Deuteronomy 16, it says, three times a year, all men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, that's Shavuot or Pentecost, okay? Feast of Weeks is Shavuot or Pentecost, or at the Feast or Festival of Tabernacles, which is the end of the fall harvest, and that means tabernacle is another word for it, the Feast of Ingathering, where you have all of the harvest into the barn now, and now you celebrate the full harvest for the full year, okay? And it says, no one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Why not? You're going to bring him a first fruit of your harvest when you come of what you've collected, okay? In the way that God has blessed you. So three times a year, people need to appear in Jerusalem, and they need to appear there, and they need to appear with a gift from their farm or from how God has blessed them throughout that year. And they present that to God, and then God accepts their first fruit, and then now they're able to go back and harvest the rest of their harvest. So they would appear in Jerusalem at Passover, okay, which is Nisan 14. What's the day after Nisan 14? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. How many days do they celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread? 7 days. So now, after Jesus resurrected, then all the Old Testament saints also resurrected. On what day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread did they all resurrect? You don't know, because there's seven of them, right? So, but we just know that it was after Jesus resurrected. So that would have been maybe the second, because it would start on the 15th, 16th, 17th, second, or maybe they were raised on the third day, on the 18th, after the day that Jesus was resurrected. We don't know, but we know that there was a resurrection during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So what did that do? It stayed in line with Deuteronomy 16, saying there will be a harvest during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, okay? So I want you to understand that, and I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 27 so that we can read it again, okay? Matthew chapter 27, and we are going to be in verse 50. And it says, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open. And the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Now, they did not appear in the physical holy city, or else we would read about it.
Right.
Okay. But they did appear in the holy city, in the city of Zion in heaven, the city that God is, that Jesus is living in now, because he's going to come out of Zion when he comes back. Okay? So these people came out of the grave. Do you think they came out of the grave in the same old bodies that died? No, they came out of the grave in resurrected bodies. Some of them had been gone since, we're talking about since the flood, since all of these, since the law was introduced, okay? All of these people who had died, and it said many, okay? Arbe, many people came out of, so you're talking about a group of people that had died before Christ, but they were considered holy because they kept the law and they loved God, okay? Now, they were waiting for Jesus to come so that they could not be in paradise and go to heaven. The scripture says Christ who ascended also descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he led captivity captive, which means that he brought all those that were there out and took them into the heavens, okay? So these people were resurrected after Christ was resurrected. Now, that was what the Bible calls the first harvest of the world. The world had been a harvest of all the Old Testament saints. Mm-hmm. Now, just like Israel, because Israel does the same thing. Every year they harvest three times a year. This harvest was considered a barley harvest. Now, in the book of Matthew, it always talks about Jesus gathering the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn. The wheat harvest belongs to Jesus. So the wheat harvest is waiting because the wheat harvest is the bride of Christ. The wheat harvest is a summer harvest. So when Christ says, when you see these things, know that summer is near. Or when you read the Hebrew words and he says, what do you see? He says, I see summer fruit. And he says, it's good you've seen because the end is near for Israel, right? But the same word, chetz, is the same word for the end as for summer, okay? So the thing is, God is trying to show you that this harvest happens during the summertime. I don't think even when I could figure out other stuff, I would say the only thing that bothers me is it's not a summer harvest. So how can it cannot be a wheat harvest? It has to be a wheat harvest. Okay. So now we're in the summer. Pentecost is here. The summertime is here. The wheat harvest is now in process. So we don't know what day the wheat harvest is going to take place, but we do know that it's going to take place. Amen. Okay? Wow. This is an incredible time to live in, okay? Now, in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 23, it says, Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz, to glean until the barley harvest and the wheat harvest were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So her mother-in-law, Naomi, is the one who introduced her to Boaz. Okay? Well, I can't say she really introduced her to Boaz. She sent her down to go and see if she can glean for some of the leftover grain that was in the fields so that they could have something to eat. So when she sent her down there, Boaz recognized her and began to be very nice to her, even though he knew that she was a Gentile woman, but that she was close to Naomi. And he began to be kind to her to the point where Naomi set her up to get married. Okay? But the marriage, it said, didn't happen until after the barley harvest and after the wheat harvest, okay? The barley harvest is gone for us because that's the Old Testament saints. The wheat harvest is when all of the church leaves. So when the church leaves, the wedding will take place. Where? In the kingdom of God. Okay. Yom Kippur 2021. Okay, I already went over that. Yom Kippur 2021 to Yom Kippur 2028 is 2,541 days. Tribulation only lasts 2,520 days, so something's got to pop very soon. It says, we are in the wheat harvest in 2021. I put two explanation points there because, I mean, I could almost scream that. We are in the wheat harvest in 2021. 7 years, winding down the amount of years that it takes to be in for the tribulation to take place is winding down. And we're in that 7 year period, counting the days down. Now, I want us to understand that Pentecost is not completed, okay? Brian, Yulita's husband, sent me the message, and he says, I don't know, I think the wheat harvest is going to be some of the people in the tribulation. And I was like, there'll be no wheat harvest in the tribulation. The wheat harvest is gone by the time of the tribulation. Everyone that gets saved in the tribulation or through the tribulation will be considered a fruit harvest, okay? Jesus will gather up that fruit from the earth. That will be considered a fruit harvest. That will not be a wheat harvest. The wheat harvest is the next harvest that has to leave. Jesus says what? He will gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn. The wheat harvest belongs to Christ, okay? So, anyway, me and Brian are going to talk because I'm sending him a lot of information because I don't want any of us to not have understanding of Scripture. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 19. Because this is when Pentecost got fulfilled. Okay? And I want you to really know, look at this, because the Holy Spirit was showing me today that was an engagement. First the engagement happened, and then the marriage happened. So it's going to happen the same for us, okay? First the engagement, then the marriage. So watch as I read, so you stick with me, okay? Because by the time we get to 10, the engagement part will have been done. Are you with me? Okay, in the third month after Israel left Egypt, okay, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai after they set out from Rephidim. I'm going to stop there because it's the third month. You got Nisan, Iyar, then you got what? Sivan, right? So Sivan is the month that Pentecost is in. So, so they spend half the month from the 14th of Nisan wandering the desert or wandering to the place that they're going to go, right? Then they spent the whole month of Iyar in the going to the place that God was leading them. Then now it's the 6th day of Sivan, and since so now you're counting like the time from that time to this time, and so you're counting up the days till you get to the 50th day after they left Egypt. Okay. So let's continue to read. All right. So it says, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai, after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai. Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob. Who is Jacob? Israel. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. This is what I want you to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded. Now, this is God saying, I'm offering you a covenant to be my very special people. If you keep my commandment, I'm offering you the opportunity to be my very special people. Mm-hmm. Moses, go and tell the people, this is what I said, and I'll wait for your answer. Because if they agree, then we'll set a covenant and a marriage date, okay? So here we go. As it says, the people all responded together. We will do everything the Lord has said. Okay? So now look, will you marry me? Yes, we will. Now, this is an engagement. You understand? So the wedding hasn't taken place yet. I want you to know that. All they've done is saying, we're agreeing to keep your covenant. We're agreeing to come into covenant with you. That is the acceptance of a ring.
Right.
That is not the wedding day. Okay? So this, I'm trying to let you know, in Acts, really, this is what happened. The people just accepted a covenant. Okay? Here, let's go back. Verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. He said, the people said, yes, they will marry you. So, and it says, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes. Okay. I believe in you. I accept your covenant. What does God tell him? Okay, now go tell them. Wait today and tomorrow, 2 days. On the third day, God's going to come down. Okay? And he's going to marry them. A day unto the Lord is as what?
1,000 years.
And 1,000 years is as what? So Jesus is doing the same thing, right? We accepted the covenant at Pentecost. We accepted the ring at Pentecost. Then Jesus left and said what? Tell the people that have accepted my covenant, Jesus Christ, that I will come down in 2 days. Go wash your clothes and get clean. Be ready when I come, okay? Because I'm going to come down on the third day and marry you. You understand? So now the second part of this thing happens. Okay? The first part was, yes, we will. Thank you for the ring. The second part was, now we set the wedding date. I'm going to come down. Tell the people to wait today and tomorrow on the third day. I'm going to come down. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Watch this. It says, have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, put limits for the people around the mountain, and tell them, be careful that you do not go up to the mountain to touch the foot of it. Whosoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to be laid on him. It says, rather man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram horn sounds a long blast may you go up to the mountain. So I'm coming down to marry you on the third day. How long has Jesus been gone? 2,000 years plus some. So we're early morning on the third day. I'm going to come down and I'm going to marry you on the third day, but you will not go up until you see here what? A long trumpet blast. Until you hear the trumpet like a voice say, come up here, you don't go up to the mountain. Okay? Now, it says here, only when the ram horn sounds a long blast may you go up to the mountain. After Moses had gone down, the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from your wives. On the morning of the third day, there was thundering and lightning. Here comes the wedding. On the third day, there was thundering and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. And it said Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended in the fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. This was their wedding day. Now, that part was not fulfilled on Pentecost. Okay? That part was not fulfilled on Pentecost. They, on Pentecost, accepted the gospel that the apostles had preached. And 3,000 of them got saved. And God gave 3,000 of them what? The Holy Spirit. Okay? Yes, it came down with fire, but God did not come down and marry them. All he did was give them something to confirm that I've married you, or that we're going to get married. Here, let's go. Oh, I'll read it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. It's on your paper. The gospel of your salvation. When you believed, that's an aoros word. That means when you believed, made an agreement to believe continuously. Okay? When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of of his glory. So you received the Holy Spirit as what? A deposit, okay? You received a ring when you accepted the covenant as a deposit that I am going to marry you. You understand? So that we are all wearing this Holy Spirit as a ring for what? For the marriage date. Now, when it said you believed in Christ, I made sure I say the aortus word, because some people think that they can just say, I believe, and then go back to living the way they want, and still they're going to get married. No, keep the ring on, keep yourself ready, and I'll be back to marry you. Don't have the ring off and out partying and doing your own thing, right? It's the same thing. But understand this. Jesus gave a ring. He gave the Holy Spirit. Then he says, I'm going away. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit from my Father, but I'm going away. I'll be gone today and tomorrow. But on the third day, I'm going to come down and marry you. But you'll only get to come up when you hear the trumpet sound. It's the same thing as Pentecost. But we haven't had the same, we haven't had the marriage. We just have the engagement. We all said, yes, I do, right? Yeah. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes, I will. I believe that he died on the cross for me. I believe that he rose from the grave. I believe Jesus is God, Yahweh, Yahweh who came, right?
Yeah.
He believes. Now my belief becomes aortus in the Greek, means now I have to continue this belief. Continue my faith and be faithful to what I'm saying I'm going to do. Okay? So your responsibility is to get in relationship, stay in relationship. Does God have grace and mercy for the relationship? Yes. Why? Because you're in your flesh. And he knows it's going to be a battle. So you have grace and mercy and the Holy Spirit to get you through the battle, which is way more than the Old Testament saints have.
Yes, it is.
Okay? Granted, you're dealing with more, but it's more than they had. So you can live a holy life for God if you want to, if you desire to, okay? We'll stop there.
Amen.
Okay. So now, I'm not going to read Acts, but I want you to know Acts is just the same thing as what happened, because it happens, Acts happens on the exact same day that Exodus chapter 19 happened, on the 50th day. On the 50th day, they received the Holy Spirit on the 50th day. Did they get married on the 50th day? No. Otherwise, the wedding is already done. The wedding has not done.
That's right.
They're just accepting the covenant, okay? Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And I usually like to start reading Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 14 because there's instructions concerning this marriage, okay? But I'll go back to it. Let's read about the marriage first, okay? Let's go to verse 18. It says, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and that is burning with fire." Okay? Now, listen, when you get raptured, this is what the Lord's going to say. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. Isn't that what the Lord told them?
Yep.
The sight was so terrifying, Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." That was the wedding, okay? But you have come to Mount Zion. When you're raptured, you're going to be in Mount Zion in heaven. You're going to the holy city. You have come to Mount Zion, in the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, waiting around for the wedding. Thousands and thousands of angels standing around for the wedding. Okay, so it says, you have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So listen, there is a wedding plan. It's not here. And it's not on a mountain that we can go and touch right now. It's on a mountain that's in the kingdom in heaven. That's where our wedding is going to take place. And it's not going to be so scary that the voice is loud and fearful, and that the people are scared to hear it. And even Moses said he was trembling with fear. He says, you're not coming to that type of wedding. You're going to come to a wedding with thousands upon thousands of angels standing around you. And you're going to land in Mount Zion. And the wedding is going to happen because you heard the trumpet and went up to the mountain in Zion, right? That will be the fulfillment of Pentecost. Not Acts chapter 2. That was an engagement. That was us saying, I do. Wait 2 days, wait 2,000 years. On the 3,000 year, I'm going to come down. And when you hear the trumpet blow, then come up. Then we're going to get married. Okay? So our fulfillment is waiting, and Jesus has given us hints about when this is going to happen. Two are grinding at the mill. That's a wheat harvest. That's not a fruit harvest. So it's not in the fall. Okay? It's before the early fruit. Wait a minute. Now I got an understanding of how the harvest seasons. I know when the early fruit lands and when the wheat harvest is over. I put this in your notes so you can see the framework where we're standing in. Because let me tell you guys something, and this is very scary to me. As a pastor and as someone who was called by God for this very purpose. Because 2021 is 7 years from the end of the tribulation in Yom Kippur. 2021 is the year. So 2021 in the summer is the year in the season. So we're looking at like, okay, if nothing happens, I can't come back to you and go, well, maybe next year. It doesn't line up with the last generation prophecy. We'd have to find something else. You understand? This is why I'm telling you, this is a very pivotal time for human beings, and it's a joyful time for me, but I don't know if people really understand it. Are we okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I'm happy for the notes.
All right. Give them the notes. All right, here we go, you guys. Let's go to John chapter 2. The Gospel of John. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
10 minutes.
What kind of craziness is that? Okay, then I'm gonna do something then, okay?
Let me go. I said 2 hours.
We try to stay sane. That's why we give ourselves time. Mm-hmm. Preachers never stop preaching, right?
Yeah.
So they have to quit.
They never finish.
Yeah, they never finish, so they got to know when to stop. Because I'll just be up here until I faint. He's like, what? Is Pass okay? Just talked a little too long. You in John chapter 2? We're going to be in that very first verse that says, on the third day there was a wedding that took place in Cana of Galilee. Why does the wedding take place on the third day? Because your wedding takes place, not today. Tell them to wait today and tomorrow, because on the third day, I'm going to come down and marry you, right? So staying in consistency with prophecy, John says there's a wedding, but it was on the third day in Cana of Galilee. Now watch this. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. His mother said, boy, I'll whip your butt. No, get over there. How are you going to say? I mean, I guess it was very respectful, but I wouldn't have been able to say nothing. I'd be like, what you want, mama? Okay. His mother said to the servant, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone pots, stone water pots. The kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. We're going to go over that Hebrew tomorrow. I'm trying to get to something here, because all of that is talking about the judgment year starting and the rapture, okay? 120 and 130. Ceremonial pots, why? Because someone just had a child. Well, it couldn't have been a bride, right? But somebody had a child, okay? So we got to understand the whole gamut of what God is saying here on this third day, this wedding taking place. But we'll look at all of those notes tomorrow. Jesus said to them, fill this water jar pot. And so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize it had come from where it had come from, though the servant who had drawn the water knew, then called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best for now. This is the first of the miracles, of the many miracles that Jesus did. Now, we just read that part, and we get to verse 12, and I want you to know when this was all happening, okay? Now, listen when it says. It says, after this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. They stayed for a few days, okay? When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, so they go down, okay, to Capernaum. Capernaum is in the Dead Sea, okay, near the Dead Sea, okay? So they go down the Galilean Sea, they go down to Capernaum, and they're at the Galilean Sea. They're at the lowest part of the earth, okay? Now, after that, he says he made it.
The Dead Sea, right, Pastor?
Yes, the Dead Sea. They call it the Salt Sea, some call it the Dead Sea. In the temple. Okay. So, it says, there they stayed a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. You hear that? So he came down, and now he's going to go up to Jerusalem. Okay? Now, this whole thing is, okay, so Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple court, he found men selling cattle and doves, and sitting at the table exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cord and drove them all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the money, the coins of the money changers, and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? Okay, now, what is he doing? He's cleansing the house. Now, let me, at Passover, what does every Jewish family have to do? They have to get all the yeast out of the house. The yeast represents what? Sin. Jesus knew that there was yeast in the house. So he goes up to Jerusalem so he can get the sin out of the house so that they can have a proper Passover service.
Wow.
Huh? Leavened bread, yes. So leaven has sin in it, okay? But leaven is considered sin, okay? So he's getting all the leaven out of the house. This is why he's going into the temple. They're preparing for what? It was almost time for Passover. Get the leaven out of your house because Passover is now about to be here. Okay, so I want to destroy this temple. Okay, I want to go to chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 4. This is where I wanted to get to, and I wanted you to understand this. Okay, it says the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, give me a drink, or will you give me a drink? And his disciples had gone to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So the woman said, "You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks water will be thirsty again. But whosoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw. He told her, "Go call your husband." Now, this is when it gets tricky. "Go call your husband." "I have no husband." "You have spoken honestly. You're right about that. Matter of fact, you've had 5 husbands, and the guy you're living with right now is not your husband." She goes, "I perceive you're a prophet." So now she starts talking to him about when Messiah comes. And Jesus says to her, he reveals to the Gentiles, "I who am speaking to you am the Messiah." He tells her, he reveals himself to the Gentiles. Okay? Now, she is so excited that she just met the Messiah, she runs home and goes to tell her brothers and everyone, "I met a guy who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" So they came and Jesus spoke with them, and they said, "Now that we've heard him speak, we know now for ourselves that he's the Messiah." And it says, they asked Jesus, and Jesus stayed there amongst the Samaritans, who are Gentiles. He stayed there amongst the Samaritans for 2 days. But on the third day, he went back to Galilee to be with the Jews, who gladly accepted him. But before, they wouldn't accept him. But now he goes back after 2 days. On the third day, they accept him. So on the third day, when Jesus gets married, but when he comes, he's going to stay. See, he's going to stay away for 2 days, right? Jesus stayed with the Gentiles for 2 days. On the third day, he returned. God says, "Wait today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I'm going to come down and marry." On the third day, there's a wedding in Canaan, right? So understand what's going on here. For the church to get married, we have to wait 2 days. And on the third day, he's going to come down and the trumpet will blow and he will marry us. On the third day, he will come back after the time he spends with us. He's going to come back to the Jews, and the Jews are going to finally accept him, but not until after the wedding. You understand? There's so much in this story, because now he's going to start telling them, and I know I'm running out of time. That's why I'm going to round this up so we can get into it tomorrow. While he's there in Samaria, okay? He's in the Samaritan town. The apostles come back and they see him. "Oh, what's he doing talking to a woman?" But they didn't say anything. And then he says to them, "Do not say to yourselves, we have 4 months to harvest. Because if you look up, you'll see that the fields are white and ready right now. When is it? It's about Pentecost. It's about Passover time, right? Mm-hmm. He said there's 4 months to harvest. What 4 months to the, what harvest? He says, look up and you will see that the harvests are white and ready. Who did he, did they look up and see white fields? Or did they look up and see these people who think that they're Jews, but they're not? Mm. Remember, the woman is, the Samaritans claim to be Jews. This is a picture of the Samaritans celebrating Passover. Since the time of Christ, they all wear white on Passover. He's in a Samaritan village at Passover. He tells them all, he tells the apostles, don't say that the harvest is in 4 months. Look up and see that the field of the harvest that I want you to get are white and ready. And all the Samaritans are standing around with white garments on. And did they get that the gospel is going to go to the Gentiles and they are the harvest? Okay? So this whole thing dealing with the Samaritans for 2 days was about harvesting the Gentile world. Harvesting the Gentile world. But he says, don't say it's going to be 4 months. Now, we're just going to look at this and then we're going to wind up, Pastor Ben. Okay. The very last page, if you could put that on camera. On this last page, from Nisan to the end of the wheat harvest is 4 months. So Nisan, Ayar, Sivan is the third month, Tumaz, then half of Av will be the wheat harvest season. Okay, so from Sivan, which is June, to about the end of Tammuz or the beginning of Av, is going to be those 4 months that Jesus was talking about. Don't say it's 4 months to the end of the harvest. This wheat harvest, look up and you'll see the fields are white and ready to go. Don't look for 4 months from now to collect the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest is now, he's telling them. These people are now. Go back and witness to them. When he rises from the grave, they're going to go back. But now, listen to this. The Samaritans already believed that he was the Messiah. So now when the Samaritans hear that he died and resurrected, you got belief in Christ. And that white field that was white at Pentecost is going to accept Christ, the Gentile. Okay? He stayed with them for 2 days. Okay? Today and tomorrow, on the third day, let's get married. Exodus, today and tomorrow, but on the third day, let's get married. Okay? So there's a real wedding that's going to take place, and it didn't take place at Pentecost. Wait today, tomorrow, clean your garments, and be ready, for on the third day I'm going to come down. And you'll go to the mountain that you can't touch with your hands, but the angels will be standing around waiting for the wedding. Praise God. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Go through some of those numbers and go through that 4 months so we can get a complete grasp on the 4 months. And now, listen to me. Is it going to take the whole time of the wheat harvest to gather the wheat harvest? No. But when the wheat harvest is gathered, that's when the wedding will take place. And we'll read that in Ruth tomorrow. So we don't know when the wheat harvest is going to take place, but we know we're in the summertime in 20 of 21, and a wheat harvest is scheduled. Because tribulation must begin. Praise God.
Amen.
All right.